It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll check out the role of third-party candidates in presidential elections as some 2024 contenders consider running as independents or under third-party labels. First, Ann Strainchamps joins us in the studio because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great conversations you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift for 2023 at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Rob. So good to see you.
Good to have you back here. Yeah.
Hey, I've got breaking news for you.
We have a goal of
10 gifts in this hour. Mm-hmm. So these hourly gifts, as you know, are so important because it's what helps us stay on track financially so that we can keep everything great on the air, news, talk, Central Time. So this is your opportunity, if you are listening, to give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality and to changing and keeping up with the times. That's why we've been around for more than 100 years. Since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, that has all been possible thanks to people like you.
And when you give, you become part of the quality that you hear every day, part of this large universe of people who love and care about and are informed by public radio. So remember, you make the difference right now. Your gift makes the difference. At WPR.org, or if you want to talk to a person, pick up the phone and dial 888-202-2552.
We've got a special offer today. Ask for the Food Bank Thank You Gift. When you give $10 a month or more, your donation to WPR is going to power essential news, quality entertainment, and that thank you gift will provide hunger relief to people in your community. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I love it so much that we do that, that you can, you know, this is the time of the year we all think about charitable contributions and we think about people who are in need. It's, you know, cold, there are terrible things happening in the world. How great that you can give essentially to yourself by supporting public radio and help provide for people in your community. There's also been a lot to celebrate this year. 2023 has been a big one. And whether you've tuned in for daily news or inspiring stories or great music or to meet new people right here on Central Time, other people made these programs possible. Other listeners who contributed this year, why not join them? Make your gift for public media at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It can be hard to accomplish a lot with just a few minutes of your time, but supporting Wisconsin Public Radio is something you can do, and it goes by real quick. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift will support stories and programs that keep you connected to the whole world and to your community back home right here. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are working our way toward our goal of 10 gifts over the course of this hour. Thank you so much if you have already given. If you haven't, join in right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give.
Combine two holiday gifts in one today by choosing the Food Bank gift. When you give $10 a month to Wisconsin Public Radio, you will also be providing meals for those in need in your area. It all happens with one donation, and you can make it right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. You can make today the day you increase your support of Wisconsin Public Radio by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. You can also do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just think of all the people around Wisconsin who every year during a pledge drive come together to contribute something to keep this great service, this historic service, on the air for all of us, for everybody, whether they can afford it or not. It's this epic community thing that we all do together, those of us who value news and information and culture and want to keep it alive and healthy. When you give, you will be joining Jan in Muscadet, who says, WPR is my primary source of information and entertainment at home and while traveling.
Thank you so much, Jan. Thank you to everyone who has supported Wisconsin Public Radio over the years. If you haven't, make your first gift and join this incredible tradition of supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, making it possible. Make that gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. With Joe Biden and Donald Trump leading the polls for their respective parties, some competing candidates in the 2024 presidential election are considering running as independents or with a third party. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dropped out of the Democratic primary, announced he'd run as an independent. Vivek Ramaswamy is still running against Trump in the Republican primary, but he's reportedly getting some interest from the Libertarian Party as a potential nominee. Former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming has said in recent interviews she might consider a third-party run. Others who have announced presidential bids outside the two main parties include activist Cornel West and former Green Party candidate Jill Stein. And the political organization No Labels is pursuing a potential third-party candidate. A non-two-party candidate hasn't won a state in a presidential election since 1968, but some see a Trump-Biden rematch as an opportunity to earn votes in 2024. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think third-party candidates could play a role in 2024, should play a role in 2024? Why or why not? Have you ever voted third-party in a presidential or other race? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Eric Lepp is an associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It is my pleasure. Happy December.
Well, I went back to 1968 there. Why don't, in the American system, why don't we tend to see third-party or independent candidates have a lot of success picking up actual electoral college votes in our presidential elections?
Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's the rules of the game, the way American elections works. Whoever gets the most votes in a state wins that state. So even if you're Ross Perot in 1992 and you're getting almost one out of five votes, you're not getting the most votes of any candidate in any one state. So unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your view, coming in second place doesn't win you anything in the U.S. So if you're not one of the top two parties getting the most votes, you're not going to have too much electoral success as far as the Electoral College goes.
People might look to parliamentary systems in Europe and elsewhere and see multiple parties in some of those cases and the rules of the game there flourishing, doing well. Is there an argument that it is better or worse to have, in effect, a two-party system versus a multi-party elected government?
Well, like any government question, there are going to be advantages and disadvantages to both. If we were to change some of our election rules to promote more parties, then you have the benefit of maybe more people feel that there's a party that's, you know, a political home for them. Maybe more people feel that there's a group that can identify with. On the other hand, in a democracy, you often need a majority of people to get anything done. So even in multi-party systems, you're going to have more than one party in most cases coming together to form coalition governments or otherwise cooperate to get government policy. So Is it possible that we could do more here to encourage more parties? Absolutely. Does it necessarily lead to more or better outcomes? Not necessarily.
Now, I think every 4 years, there is a series of headlines along the line like, this might be the year, right? This might be the opportunity for third-party candidates to make headway, and they tend not to. But could this be the year? A Trump-Biden rematch seems likely. A lot of polls show people not excited about that rematch potential. Is there somehow room, if it's a Trump-Biden race, for third-party candidates to make headway finally this time around?
Well, I guess it depends a little bit on what your definition of making headway
sure.
is. If we're talking about can they perform better than they typically do, I think the answer is absolutely yes. You know, since Ross Perot, the last time a third-party candidate did really well was Gary Johnson in 2016, where he got between 3 and 4% of the vote. And that was a high watermark, right? And a year where a lot of people were not thrilled with either candidate. So if the idea is if we get more votes than third parties typically do, I think there's a good chance of that in 2024. Does that mean that a third-party candidate is likely to win the White House? Almost certainly not. But there is a middle category, which is it possible for a third party candidate or group or movement to potentially play spoiler and pull just enough votes to change which of the two major party candidates wins? That is certainly possible still at this point.
Before we go into the spoiler argument, I want to give a listen to one of the candidates I mentioned, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an independent candidate. Here he is in an interview with PBS NewsHour. This is from last month, talking about his strategy of targeting specific battleground states in the 2024 election.
All I need to do in those states is get 34% of the vote, and I can walk away with 270 electors. So, you know, because the electors are winner-take-all, and it's assigned by plurality rather than majority.
So if you get the right number of candidates running in a state, we might see people, he argues, grabbing electoral votes because they can pull, you know, 32 instead of worrying about hitting 51 in a two-party race.
Right, absolutely. Although one thing he didn't mention is that to get to 270 votes, either major party candidate not only needs to perform well in enough battleground states, they also need to perform well in those solidly red and blue states, you know, the Wyomings and the New Yorks of the world. So it's not just 8 or 10 battleground states. You need to have a pretty deep bench and core level of support that are in states that don't typically get a lot of attention because we know how they're going to vote. So it's still an uphill battle for third party candidates.
Let's bring out a caller at 800-642-1234. Kathy is with us in Harshaw. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I feel the political parties that we have today, the Democrats and Republicans, have failed us, that we no longer have representative government. Seems like they represent donors, the wealthy. And, you know, I just assume do away with both of them. I mean, didn't Thomas Jefferson warn us against political parties and the corruption that could become of it?
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Kathy, not alone, I think, Eric, in frustration with both major parties.
Absolutely. And you're right. Even George Washington, you know, one of his most famous addresses when he left office at the end of his two terms was to warn about what he could see coming, which was these political parties that the framers of the Constitution all talked about in pretty negative terms. And yet we ended up with them less than a decade after the country was formed. So the upside to parties is they help people make sense of the political system, and they bring certain coalitions together, whether that's regional or cultural or different types of economies. So unfortunately, it's probably not the case that both parties can be simply cast aside and we can start fresh. But if you look at both parties throughout American history, they have evolved over time to expand and sometimes contract in their coalitions to try to be responsive to the will of the people such that they can get a majority on election day.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to UW-Whitewater political scientist Eric Lepp about third-party candidates, independent candidates, especially in presidential elections. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Have you supported independent or third-party candidates in the past? Do you think you might in 2024? If it's Biden-Trump, are you looking for none of the above, a different alternative, or do you worry about the spoiler impact of non-two-party candidates? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Eric Lepp, political science professor at UW-Whitewater. He's with us to talk about the role of third-party and independent candidates in presidential elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. On the spoiler issue, Eric, I want to give a listen to a candidate who is figuring out if she can be a successful spoiler, former Wyoming Republican Representative Liz Cheney, talking about running for president if she feels like it could help thwart former President Trump's ambitions in 2024. Here she is in an interview with CBS.
I won't do anything that would help him. When I say I'll do whatever it takes, I mean that we need to look at our politics in a very different way. Hopefully he won't win the Republican nomination, but he may well. It certainly looks like he's headed that direction. If he does, then all of us across party lines have to come together to defeat him next November. And there are a whole range of things we need to do to think anew about nonpartisanship, about voting for the Constitution, not for whatever political party people may be part of.
So the idea of a strategic campaign, maybe to challenge, to get on the ballot in some states to lure votes away from former President Trump. She says she doesn't want to throw the election to him, I think, by running everywhere. I don't know, what do you think about that strategic independent campaign idea, Eric?
It's certainly an intriguing idea. The big question with all of these third-party candidacies is, who are they going to pull votes from? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of hypothesizing in terms of, well, this group's going to pull from Biden voters or this group's going to pull from Trump voters. The truth is, right now, we don't really know for sure. So anybody who goes to the trouble of getting on the ballot is going to have to make some educated guesses, but they will still be guesses as to who are they going to appeal to several months later when the actual election comes. So that's the big risk that everybody's running. And you heard former Representative Cheney reference that when she said, the first and foremost, I don't want to do anything to help President Trump get reelected. But beyond that, I'm still thinking about what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's the question. Who's she going to pull from?
Let's go back to our callers. Mackenzie is with us in Platteville. Mackenzie, hi.
Hi, Rob. I had a comment. I just feel like voting third party might actually be a waste, just given the nature of our elections at this point. And I feel like, you know, erring on the side of human rights, voting for the side that supports human rights and keeping people's rights intact is worth it rather than going for a third party that might have a little bit different viewpoints and stuff like that.
Mackenzie, thanks a lot for the call. Again, I think this is something a lot of people might agree with, Eric. They might sympathize more with a third party or independent candidate, but see a lot at stake in a 2024 presidential election and vote with that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, imagine for a moment that you are a member of, say, the Green Party that is often considered to be to the political left of the Democratic Party. If you are somebody that identifies or affiliates with that party and you go in to vote on election day, you have a choice. Do I want to kind of vote my principles and what I'm really feeling and who I best identify with? Or do I want to throw support behind the closest major party that may not be my favorite, but is definitely my preferred of the two options? So that question of voting strategically is something that all voters have to wrestle with. And I very much appreciate that for 2024, there are a lot of people in that category of, ooh, do I kind of pinch my nose and vote for the lesser of two evils? Or do I want to make a statement on my ballot to say I'm unhappy with the options presented to me?
Thanks a lot for that call. Eric, I want to throw something at you. I read a piece by, it was Tom Nichols in The Atlantic saying, hey, we're putting too much focus on the president. It's an important race, yes, but if people want to make a difference and maybe promote certain causes, certain principles, they should be looking at local elections, maybe even nonpartisan elections where the two-party system isn't even part of the story. I think in the United States, the tendency is for us to vote less and less in those local elections. What do you think of that idea?
You know, it's funny when you look at the number of cases that the U.S. Supreme Court hears every year versus the number of cases that lower level courts hear every year. It is such a tiny fraction that's actually decided at the federal level. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. A lot of the day-to-day stuff, whether it's potholes or school taxes, are happening at a local level. So I absolutely concur with that idea. People should be paying attention to local and state issues as well. That being said, the presidency does matter when
sure.
it comes to things like war and peace. And I can appreciate that there's a lot of media attention that goes to kind of the straight to the top and people consider it important. But yeah, don't forget the rest of that ballot when you get lower down.
Eric, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Be well.
That's Eric Lapp, Associate Professor of the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. He was with us today to talk about the influence that third-party candidates can have in presidential elections. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. And Strange Chaps is in the studio with me from To the Best of Our Knowledge. You make all these great conversations, all the great news and information possible when you give during this year-end member drive. Join in and support the news and talk and entertainment you count on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Rob, thank you so much for that great conversation. You know, in 15 minutes, you just gave me so much to think about. That's
that's what we try to do.
Yeah,
you may
no.
be familiar with that concept on To the Best of Our Knowledge,
I might
too.
Have heard of it before, yeah. So in the meantime, this hour, we still have that goal of 10 gifts. Thank you so much if you are one of the people who came forward in the last half hour or so and made a contribution. If you are not one of those people and are listening now, hey, we are looking for your contribution. Give now. And when you do, it will help ensure that you and the larger Wisconsin community have access to all of WPR's essential services, the talk shows like Central Time, the music, the news, the headlines. There is so much here that you may not even realize you count on. So join in right now and make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about that last conversation, a big national issue. We tapped into our incredible reservoir of expertise here in Wisconsin. We heard from a couple callers with very different reads, very different perspectives on the issue of third parties. It's an example of the kind of informative, thought-provoking conversation you can count on all the time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that is precisely because Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. That means your donation makes all these topics that you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, and then decide to make your gift by going to WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
A great way to sustain Wisconsin Public Radio into the future is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly contributions right from your bank account or your credit card.
And speaking to my fellow procrastinators, people who tend to put off until tomorrow what they could perfectly well do today, sustaining membership changed my life and my my relationship to pledge drives. In fact, instead of listening to them, clicking off because they made me feel so guilty and embarrassed, I now can listen and simply enjoy them. So when people sign up to become sustainers, most people start by giving $10, $15 a month. But really, it's what matters is that you choose the amount that's right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Quick childhood story, Anna. I don't think I've told this on here before. My parents tell me this. My folks were watching public TV. It was a pledge drive, a member drive. Mm. And they looked over me. I'm a little kid now. Mm. And I'm crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? They're like, why isn't anybody helping them? Like, I was really worried that nobody was going to help them out. And I was going to lose Big Bird or something. I don't know. If I had been a three-year-old sustainer, I would have felt great. I would have been perfectly happy.
So, and here you've given your life to this service.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so
beautiful.
So be
like old Rob, not like tiny Rob. Make that gift. Become a sustainer. And you won't have to cry every time we talk. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Ho-Chunk producer shares into what went into making his latest film, which recently won a Midwest Regional Emmy Award. First, Ann Strainchamps joins me for the year-end member drive. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give. Join in and support the news and conversations you count on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Rob. So we are still working on that goal of 10 gifts over the course of this hour. Remember, if you are listening now, that your gift is so important. When you give, you are supporting the essential public media service that you rely on every day, not something that you never listen to or that you don't care about, but your friends right here on this station.
Thank you so much if you've already given, if you're a sustainer maybe for years. If not, though, the time is now. Make a gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We all have different things that draw us to public radio. For myself, it's often discovering a new way of thinking about something or an idea that I've never heard of before, or meeting somebody, especially the filmmaker we're about to meet in a few minutes. You know, on Central Time, you often meet people who are right here, our neighbors and friends in Wisconsin that we maybe haven't encountered before. You have your own reasons for listening to public radio. Whatever they are, I hope that you will support them today by making a contribution at WPR.org or 888 202 2552.
Listeners make the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. Members make the programs possible.
You get all of these great shows because of members, people like you who donate, kick in the largest amount of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. I mean, when you think about it, like, we get some funding from the state, we get some funding from sponsors. But the majority of the money is from individuals who, during pledge drives like these, walk to their computers or pick up their phones and make a contribution. It could be $10 a month, could be $100, any amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals through Food Bank Thank You Gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this drive to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Make that gift and take advantage of that food bank offer when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Ann Strainchamps, WPR's essential service is available to you and to your community thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a huge difference for the entire community.
Quick reminder that it is, of course, December. This is the year-end membership drive. Great time to make your last gift of the year to Wisconsin Public Radio. It only takes a few minutes. And when you give, you will have that great feeling of supporting something that you actually really care about and that you use. Make your contribution at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
The little things we spend money on add up. Maybe it's buying that morning coffee or afternoon treat or that downloadable content for your favorite computer game. You easily spend, you know, a few bucks, $10 a month, $20 a month on those little expenses, but they're an important part of your day.
So is listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Like the money you spend on a well-deserved treat, make your gift of, say, $20 a month right now for the programs that are also a treat on a daily basis at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Working toward our goal of 10 gifts this hour. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give.
Reminder, you can also choose that food bank gift. When you give $10 a month, it'll provide gifts for folks in need in your area at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are already a sustaining member, thank you so much. You could make today the day you increase your support of WPR by a few dollars or $5, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. You can do that online at WPR.org. Or with a phone call to that number, 888-202-2552.
Chris in Mineral Point says, you keep me company in the car and at home. Your content is knowledgeable and appreciated. That is a lovely comment. And we've gotten so many from listeners over the course of this pledge drive and over the course of the year. You have your own reasons for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. All we ask during these pledge drives is that you take maybe just a couple of seconds and think about how much you enjoy this service, how much you use it, and then decide how much it's worth to you and make a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for making a big difference for Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last month, a short documentary film about Ho-Chunk artist and educator Truman Lowe won a Midwest Regional Emmy Award. It's the first Emmy for the Ho-Chunk Nation. Here's a clip from the film featuring archival footage of Lowe talking about his art.
I want to create enough interest in water through my work that others will begin to share the same beauty and the same understanding that I have of moving water.
Our next guest was part of the team behind the film, accepted the award at the Chicago ceremony in this historic moment for the tribe. Casey Brown is a comedian, award-winning producer, and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, part of the team behind the film, exploring the artistic process of Truman Lowe, a journey through Native American art and education. Casey, thanks a lot for coming over to the studio today.
Oh, Pina Gigi, thank you for having me today.
Can you talk a little bit, first of all, about the subject of your film, Truman Low, and what he means to the Ho-Chunk Nation?
Sure. Well, first off, I actually did want to say thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. And honestly, WPR, I've listened to it all the time. Ho-Chunk, Ho-Chunk country is basically Aboriginal and contemporary. We have offices all throughout the state, so I'm driving all over the state. Oh. I have a little static cling, and I'd look at that to know when to change over from one station to the other to continue listening. So,
thank you so much.
That's my little pitch that I wanted to give for the membership
thank you.
Crowd. Anyways, about Truman. So essentially, the film is about Truman. The idea came from I was working for the public relations for my tribe, the Ho-Chunk Nation, Wisconsin, and we were approached by the chancellor at UW-La Crosse. They wanted to change the name of their Center for the Arts. Not really change it, just add Truman to it. Mm-hmm. Not because of any donation or anything, but because he was such a remarkable individual and alumni from there. Came to the Ho-Chunk Nation, asked for support. I easily gave that to him. I grew up knowing Truman. I'm from Black River Falls. He's from my hometown. I also went to Madison and got to interact with him a lot when I was here. So I knew enough about him, knew a lot about him. I really wanted this to happen because he's such a remarkable, just an American Indian intellectual, great Wisconsinite. So I helped out with that. And once we got done with that, we were pitching ideas with Discover Wisconsin. And my fellow producer, Brett, we were talking about it. I mentioned Truman. I told the story about him and just, you know, everything he had done. And we liked the idea. We went with it, moved forward. And yeah, that was really where it started.
This is a short documentary. And I feel like I learned a lot about Truman Low that I didn't know beforehand. Can you tell us just a little bit about his career as an artist and it looks like a mentor to so many others?
Yeah, certainly. So Truman grew up in tribal land, Black River Falls, my hometown. Grew up there and, of course, learned you know, traditional arts from his family. And he certainly knew that, and he incorporated that as he went on to UW-La Crosse for undergrad and eventually to Madison. And a lot of what he did was is about the natural world, and as you heard in the clip, it was about water. Mm-hmm. So that was one big thing. Worked with a lot of wood. He certainly had different phases, but overall, I think his art was very, he had a lot of public art, lots of installations for folks to see, really embodies the Wisconsin idea of, you know, learning all of this and bringing it back to Wisconsinites and across the country and across the world. So his art, I remember being a kid and how I first knew about Truman was he had, quote, weird art, someone had told me. And that is right then and there that I knew I loved weird art. So that was, and he was a mentor, honestly, obviously. He was here at UW and mentored so many students, a lot of folks that we had talked to that had wonderful stories about Truman.
Can you talk about his art a little bit? You show a lot of examples in the film, some of it working with wood, as you mentioned, techniques learned from his parents. Can you paint us a picture, I guess, of some of his sculpture and other work?
So Truman's work really embodies the idea of contemporary American Indian art. And when he was at the when he was working with the Smithsonian, he was integral to them starting more contemporary art and to show that, you know, Native art isn't just static. It's not, I mean, obviously we still have beadwork. We still have lovely traditional artworks, but Truman was in more of a modern style, but incorporating the old, but also with the new. And I think what Truman, his art really says is that, and it shows even with Native people just historically, is Native people can adapt, and they always have adapted, and especially with colonization, always adapting to new materials, new ideas, new media. And Truman really did that, but still it was central, was the natural world and just who he was as a person and as a Ho-Chunk and a Wisconsinite.
I've talked to people who've looked at Native American history, more recent history, and a running theme I hear is in our pop culture in the United States, a lot of time there's this, it's frozen in time and maybe the 1800s or something like that. And the idea that, no, these are still living traditions today in 2024. How important is that for you in telling Truman's story?
Oh, it's very important. Of course, I studied history and American Indian studies here at UW, so I could probably talk for hours on that. But in the short of it, honestly, that is what's important, is showing that Native people didn't just pause at one moment, that currently evolving. And I think what Truman has done, and what, you know, he always wanted his artists and people, his students that he was with, just to find what they wanted to say and use their, like, he had them look at themselves. And he obviously was taking students to the natural world as well and exposing them to that. So, but obviously we live in a modern day society, and he certainly worked with media like that as well.
Talking to Casey Brown, one of the creators of the newly Emmy Award-winning documentary about Ho-Chunk artist Truman Low. Now, Truman passed away in 2019. You had some archival footage, and we heard some of that at the outset there. Can you talk about going back and listening to Truman Low's voice and watching him talk about his art?
Yeah. So I had the benefit of having heard Truman speak numerous times, both you know, on stage and just with other folks, and just, you know, in small groups. So I kind of got to see him talk. And certainly when we were looking into doing this, just, you know, the historian in me getting to go back and look at all that archival footage and kind of knowing where to find it, and talking with folks, a lot of colleagues that I have now were, you know, my mentors and my professors growing up. So I got to talk with them and talk with a lot of folks that actually worked with Truman, and, you know, they knew where to find a lot of these, some of the other hidden things. And obviously, it is a short film. I mean, there is a longer story to be told here. We probably could have done an entire feature. But so there's a lot that's not told. But I think we captured a lot of what the essence of Truman really was.
I agree. From what I saw, is there a thought that you might do, maybe not in a longer documentary form, but do some project that does extend that out and use more of that footage?
I certainly would like to do that. And especially, you know, one of the things that, as, you know, as studying history and, you know, I guess as a historian, one of the big things that I always focus on is to show that the contemporary is still here and there is a Native future as well, and that we are all parts of that. So we are looking, we look backwards, but we are looking forwards. And to do some more work that talks about that and explores that, I think, is very valuable, especially with art.
Now, this is a Ho-Chunk produced documentary about a Ho-Chunk subject winning this Midwest Regional Emmy. How significant is that? What does that recognition mean?
When I had heard from Discover Wisconsin, when they told me about the, you know, about the film and that it was nominated, I said, wow, that's really great for you guys. And they told me that it said, Casey, you were very integral in this film. You know, you were a producer of this. You helped produce this. And I've accepted that. I certainly have a level of Ho-Chunk modesty, much like Truman does, or did. And I'm just overjoyed that we won. And the biggest thing is that it's a Ho-Chunk story that the Ho-Chunk Nation produced for and about just this remarkable Ho-Chunk person. And to be able to, you know, especially the Emmy, if nothing else, it's given notoriety to it. More people have watched this film, and the more people are talking about it. And I'm here. I will talk about it up and down anyone, any classroom. I've talked with students, and I've talked with the Regents. If the Regents are listening, thank you for watching the film and talking with me.
Now, you show in the documentary, you know, the Art Center now at UW-La Crosse, named after Truman Low, the plaques inside there. Now there's the documentary. I mean, are you hoping that all of this together brings back people to look at Truman's art and career and maybe be inspired themselves to follow in his footsteps in some way?
Certainly. UW-Madison just recently put up a bird effigy sculpture right on campus. And once winter comes, everyone's going to be able to see it. It is going to be shining. It is right there once you go past Bascom. I think that there is a renewed interest, and I've certainly seen a lot more programming and shows that have been including Truman, as well as the folks that he inspired and that he mentored.
Now, you're still celebrating the Emmy win. What is next for you now, Casey?
Currently, I am, after the Emmy win, honestly, I've been a lot of projects have been floated towards me, and I'm currently working with the Newberry Library out of Chicago, which, you know, as a historian here, I got to go to Newberry a lot. So they're doing an indigenous history, oral history project of Chicago and the urban Indian community down there. So I'm just kind of helping out with that, and that's going to be a larger exhibition. So I'm looking forward to that right now.
And then are you hoping your success with this project and hopefully future ones, maybe as Truman did, will inspire yet another generation?
I certainly hope so. That because I honestly never thought that I would be a quarter of the way to get my EGOT. So that is not something I expected in my lifetime. So Truman really inspired me, and I guess that passion showed through in the film. And hopefully, other folks will see that, and maybe some youth will see that and follow their passions as well.
Casey, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Pina Gigi.
That's Casey Brown, comedian, award-winning producer, and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation. He was with us to talk about a short documentary film he helped produce about Ho-Chunk artist Truman Low. It recently brought home a Midwest Emmy Award. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive, and Strain Champs is here in the studio, and it is your chance to support the news and the conversations that keep you connected to Wisconsin and the world each and every day. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does make a difference as we wrap up one year and head into another.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Casey. Thank you so much. Wow, that was a fantastic conversation, you guys. You taught me so much. It was inspiring and informational. I can't wait to check out that film. So
I'll send you the link, Ann.
Yeah, thank you. Please do. Yeah, and you should post it online, too.
We're going to do that, right? At WPR.org/Central Time. Yes.
Okay, great. All good.
Thank you for reminding me to plug that.
Yeah, well, all good things, which is, you know, what you expect here on the Central Time and in a larger context here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, there are not that many news sources in Wisconsin that have the kind of statewide reach that Wisconsin Public Radio does. And so to have a news service that introduces us to the fullest range of people in our community is just so important and really inspiring. So if you are listening, you have your own reason for loving Central Time. And I have to remind you, it's Pledge Drive. We are still working on that goal, hoping for 10 contributions this hour, and that will make sure that we have the funding to keep programs like this going. You can make your contribution at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
An added reason to give today: you can provide hunger relief in your area. Ask for the food bank thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up, on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can join David at WPR.org with your gift or call 888-202-2552. It's the year-end member drive on Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Ann Strainchamps. Listener support. Your support is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have an impact.
You know, at WPR, we have a core group of supporters who give month after month and year after year. They contribute willingly because they depend on this vital resource, and they want to make sure that it is here for everybody else. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio, too, and maybe for whatever reason, you just haven't gotten around to making a contribution.
Well, WPR relies on new donors like you to grow and keep high-quality programs on the air. Today is your day. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift of $5 or $10 or $20 a month, any amount that's right for you, is all it takes.
And, you know, especially when you consider how much you get for, I mean, it's not just like one talk show or one set of news headlines or one daily news show or one music service. It's all of those. You know, you can fill your entire day, your entire week, your entire evening with fantastic content and so much on the archive also. You know, there's not that many places you can get that much stuff.
That's a really good point. And if people wanted to go through, even just to the best of our knowledge, archives, you have, I mean,
you got years worth of listening.
Given that
right.
you sleep sometimes, you have infinite listening with just that.
You know, sleep is overrated.
But right, yeah. Or I guess you could listen in your sleep too, and then dream.
There you go.
About to the best of our knowledge, and then throw that in with all the talk shows and all the news, the archives, the live streaming, the music network. So much value comes to you from Wisconsin Public Radio. Put a dollar amount that's comfortable for you, and then make your gift, because you and people like you who have given over the years, over the decades, have made all of that stuff I just said possible. So think about that dollar amount and then make the gift that's right for you. You can do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's a special day during this year-end member drive because you can ask for the Food Bank thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more. Then you'll support public radio and you'll provide meals for those in need in your area. Make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Also, if you have not yet become a sustainer, this would be a great time to do that. It's easy to set up, and what it means is that instead of having to, during every pledge drive, remember, oh yeah, what's that number? What's that website? You make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. It provides reliable source for the support for the programs that you love, and you can do that at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Victoria in Fitchburg says it's time to give back. Thank you, Victoria, and you can give back twice with that Food Bank thank you gift when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.